It's very good to see everybody tonight. So tonight my lesson is from 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So we probably heard more the lesson toward godliness. And, you know, it's kind of a reminder that still that we have to try to be grown more godliness. And from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, we have the promise that if we will to live godly in Christ Jesus, we will suffer persecution. Well, what does godliness mean? We know the definition of that. It comes from two different words. One is you, and another word is sibia, which means to revere what is good. We know from Matthew 19, verse 16 to 17, when the young man came to ask Jesus, "Good Master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" We know what Jesus said, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God." So there is one good, that is God. So we know God is good. So revering or valuing what is good means that revering or valuing all the qualities of God and valuing what he values as good. So what does God value? He values all the spiritual good things. He does not value all the evil things, but he values all the spiritual good things. So there are several scriptures which tells what God values. From Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23 to 24. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorious glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, says the Lord. So the Lord delights in loving kindness and judgment and doing what is right or keeping his commandments. In other words, righteousness. So what it means that let us not glory when we glorious, it's talking about don't glory in our own wisdom and don't glory in our own might. Or don't glory in the riches that we have. So how are we not to do that? Now, it is a common temptation for every one of us that we have physical attributes like being smart or being physically strong or physically beautiful. Now, these are attributes that people admire in us today in this world. And how much temptation is it to focus on and trying to improve these physical attributes or skills that we have? You know, how much temptation is it for someone who is, you know, good looking, for example, to try to be, you know, to look good more and to think about that a lot and focus on that a lot? Or same thing for being smart. But what did Paul do with those things? We know from Philippians chapter 3, he said that he literally counted those admirable physical attributes as dung because he valued Christ and the sufferings that he's suffering because he's following Christ. So, you know, when we are talking to each other, you know, sometimes our values comes out in the way we talk, right? From 1 John chapter 4, verse 5, and this is a way that we can know, are we children of God? Are we part of this world? In 1 John chapter 4, verse 5 and 6, they are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God, he that knows God hears us. He that is not of God hears not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So, how do we know that we are of God and not of this world? Well, what do we talk about? and what we like to listen to about when we talk to each other. You know, things that makes us look smart. You know, how do we appreciate, you know, and also things that we appreciate in other people. And things the Lord would value about them, so what should we talk about? So the things that Lord values in each other, or the things that what we are skilled about. From Romans chapter 12, verse 3, it says that, "For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he thought he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." So if we value what God values, we shouldn't value one another based on, and we should value one another based on their faith. So who does God give more understanding to? We know faith comes from hearing word of God. You know, how much we understand, and that's how we have to measure ourselves. So who does God give more understanding to? Well, we know from Matthew verse 11, verse 25, he reveals the truth to the humble or the babes. And from Proverbs chapter 2, verse 6, he says that the one who seeks after him more, and God gives him more understanding. And from John chapter 5, verse 44, and he says that this another reason that we may be hindering from getting understanding is that we are actually seeking God or seeking men's praise from one another. So those are the three things that's hindering us from understanding God's word, or God is giving understanding to us. If God is giving understanding to someone else, then what that tells about that person? Well, they are humble, and they are seeking the Lord more, and also they're not seeking the praise from one another. So those should be the kind of things that we value in one another and are seeking for ourselves. And it should be reflected in the things that we talk about. And again, here's another scripture that talks about the God values from Micah chapter 7, verse 18. He says that, "Who's God like unto thee, that pardoneth iniquity and passes by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retains not his anger forever, because he delights in mercy." So the Lord delights to the kind people, the who are mercy. And these are the same things that Lord is requiring from us, from Micah chapter 8, verse 6, verse 8. "He that shows, he that should thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God." So Jesus loved righteousness, which made him to be anointed as our king and our high priest. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 9, "Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows." So why does Jesus value righteousness? Because God loves it. From Psalms chapter 33, verse 4 to 5, "For the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth." In verse 5, "He loves righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of goodness of the Lord." So all these good spiritual qualities that God values, and Jesus valued the same thing. And also, he learned to be one of those qualities. And Lord anointed him because of his righteousness. So all these good spiritual qualities also God mentions as his glory. You know, Moses asked to see God's glory, and God described those good qualities to him as his glory. From Exodus chapter 33, from 18 and 19, "And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy." And we read more from next chapter, chapter 34, verse 5 to 8. "And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, and forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of their fathers upon the children and upon the children's children, unto the third and to the fourth generation. And Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshiped. Did Moses know what he's asking for? He's asking the Lord to show his glory. Did the Lord show his glory? Did Moses understood these things are the glory of God? Now Moses, we can see how much Moses valued these things. He made haste to bow his head and worship God for that. Now, do we worship God based on the qualities that he has? You know, we can see in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, that Paul wants to change into the same glory that the Lord has. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, but we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So what should be our desire and values are? Do we see the glory that God has? And do we worship him because of his goodness? And do we have a desire and a value to have those goodness and his glory in us? Now, this revering or valuing good, or valuing God, is a big part of what God calls as a fearing the Lord. We can read that from Psalms chapter 34, verse 11 to 14. Come ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desires life and loves many days, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile, and depart from evil and do good, seek peace and pursue it. Now, so remember that we already looked from Matthew 19, from 16 and 17, where Jesus said that there is one good that is God. So if we are trying to see the good, and what are we trying to actually see? Well, if the God is the one good source of good, then we're trying to see God. And he says that the fearing the Lord is desiring life so that we can see the good. You know, there's a big difference in desiring many days in this physical life so that we can live for ourselves versus desiring life so that we can see more of God's goodness. And, you know, it's two different, totally different purposes of our life. You know, we try to do a lot of things to live healthy, you know, try to eat everything organic, and we try to follow diet, even sometimes that doesn't work. But we try to be healthy and try to do those things so that we can have healthy life. But what is the purpose of those should be? Is that because of that, so that we can be like God, that see more of God's goodness, or is more of that we can enjoy this life? You know, of course, just seeing the good is not enough, right? You know, Psalms 34 shows the fear of the Lord is not seeing, but also doing what is good. And seeking peace and pursuing it, and keeping our lips from speaking guile, and ultimately that, you know, changing into the all the goodness that we see in our God. So God calls this as his glory as well, that Moses saw in Exodus chapter 33, and this is the same glory that Paul wants to be like from 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. So whether we call it this as God's goodness, or whether we call this as God's glory, it's all part of the same picture, that all of God's goodness. So Psalms chapter 34 shows that the fear of the Lord is wanting that good and seeking that goodness. So the next question or next part of the lesson is, what are the ways that we can apply, you know, this to our daily lives, is in the example that we see from Luke chapter 10. You know, how do we apply all the value that we value of God's goodness in our normal, basic, daily lives? So we see an example from Luke chapter 10 from Mary and Martha from verse 38 to 42. Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, And a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she said, a sister Mary, called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. So it is true that we need to do our responsibilities, a physical job that God gave us to do, and schools and everything. But what good thing shall not be taken away from us? Or what is the good part that Mary valued? Sitting and listening to the word of God. Now, from this passage, you know, is it necessary that we stop working? You know, even works that we might consider as good works, such as providing for our families, do we stop working in order to choose the good part and listen to God's words? No, God commanded us to work from 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. If you don't work, you cannot eat. But what is the main lesson that we're learning from here? Well, Jesus didn't say, oh, there are a lot of good things today to do. Make sure you get things done and make other things done too. Is it what he said? No, he said that one thing is needful. And this was the one thing that Martha needed to be doing right now. You know, if we don't listen to God's words, then how do we know what is good? We know from Romans chapter 10, verse 17, that faith comes from the hearing the word of God. It is needful for us to listen to know what is good so that we can do that. So listening to God's word is the beginning, the foundation of everything. You know, some people say, well, I have to provide for my family so I can't make it to church often. But it's okay because providing for my family is good work to do, right? So I skip church. But remember, Jesus said, one thing is needful. He didn't say, you know, people often change this verse just a little bit by saying, well, Martha was doing a good work, which is serving Jesus, but she also needed to listen to God's words. So we need to do the both. Well, Jesus didn't say that. Jesus said it very clear. He said one thing. He didn't say two things. He didn't say either or this or that or both. He said that one thing was needful right then. Now, it is not that the Lord does not want us to do good works at all, but he rather, you know, he gives us a choice of whether to do a good work or to listen to his words. What is the good choice? You know, serving the Lord by preparing whatever he needs or sitting and listening to his words. Jesus is making it clear that one thing is needful, which will not depart from Mary, that is listening to God's words. So the purpose of coming to church, according to Ecclesiastes 5 verse 1, is to listen to God's words. Now there are a lot of verses that talks about listening to God's words, like 1 Samuel chapter 15 verse 22, that talks about how the Lord values a listening heart. Now that is the most needful and good, important thing in our lives. There is good work to do, but when it comes to the listening to God's words, that's the only thing is needful than compared to any other work that we are thinking as a good work, according to Luke chapter 10, verse 38 to 42. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, it makes it more points here that, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So Jesus said that, you know, take no thought what we should eat or what we should wear. But that's, you know, our constant thoughts, isn't it? You know, I need to work to put, you know, food on the table. right? I need to go to school so that I can get a job, so I have something to wear or you know, provide for my family. It's true, we should do those things because that's a responsibility that God gave us to do. But how do we know that's a responsibility that God gave us to do if I don't study his words first? So where should our value be? In all our responsibilities or on seeking the kingdom and righteousness of God? In Job chapter 23, verse 12, we see here that neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. What Job was esteeming here? Is this, he is physically rich. Is that what he's esteeming about? Or is he esteeming about God's words more than his necessary food? And what we are esteeming more today? Now we can see that another example about David, in the same example, you know, how about David being a king? How much things would he have to think about, right? He's a king of the nation. He got a lot of people to judge, and you have to rule over the people. You have to make the judgment. You have to make the war to make sure that you know the Judea is safe. But what was he meditating on? We know from Psalms 119. From 15 and 16, I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. In 16, I have delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. In the same chapter, verse 72, the law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. In the same chapter, verse 125 to 129, I am thy servant, give me understanding, that I may know thy testimonies. It is time for thee, Lord, to work, for they have made void thy law. Therefore I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. Therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. Thy testimonies are wonderful, therefore doth my soul keep them. Now, David said that you have to, you know, wake up early to seek after God. He knew that, you know, he had physical responsibilities that he had to be faithful in. But what was the one thing is needed? You know, listening and learning what is good from God's words. You know, how many people today, before we start our work, we got to work like 12 hours or 10 hours, whatever it is, that we are like David, you know, trying to seek the Lord by, you know, prayers, reading God's words as first thing in the morning. I mean, if we don't do that, what kind of heart it shows to the Lord? I mean, as long as we read the Bible before we go to sleep, is that much time that we're planning to spend to seeking or listening or reading God's words? How much that shows to the Lord that how much we value him? Just reading 5 minutes throughout the day, is that shows that how much we value God? Is that all we got to value him? And we say that, you know, we do the physical job because that's a good work to do, right? But we saw that from Luke chapter 10, verse 38 to 42, that Mary, the one thing is not departed, as Jesus pointed out, is that listening to God's words, which is more important. You know, David is a king. He has more responsibilities to do. He knows that he will be tied up throughout the day. But his meditations and we read from other passages that he wakes up early in the morning so that he can seek the Lord. So that should be our encouragement and motivation to do good works so that we can have more time to seek the Lord. Sometimes we don't have time, especially when we have kids. But is there any physical things should stop us from studying God's word or seeking God? Now we should be valuing God by reading his words and learning more of his goodness. So what was the result of when David valued God and his words? Well, from Psalms chapter 119, verse 97 to 99, he says, "Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all day. Though through thy commandments hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. Have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation." In Psalms chapter 37, verse 23, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighted in his way." Is David is a good man? The Lord is delighted in David's ways. Now, we should meditate all day about God's laws. If I don't study in the first place, what do I meditate about? Right? So we have to know the God's laws to meditate about. So we need to read God's words first. So should our responsibilities, our physical responsibilities that we have, should stop us from seeking God? Am I supposed to value those physical things? You know, from Ephesians chapter 4:28, one of the reasons that we work, so that we may do good works. So let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, work with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to them that need. So here God gives the reason, one of the reasons we should work, to give the who has needs. Well, it could be our family needs, or it could be our spiritual brethren needs, or anybody who needs, so that we can provide to them so that we can work. So even in our responsibilities, our values for that should still be for the purpose of doing good. But if my work is stopping me from seeking God or coming to church or doing any good work, am I valuing God? Or am I valuing this world, valuing my responsibilities more than God? Luke chapter 16, verse 15, we know that. "And he said unto them, Ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knows your heart. For that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of the Lord." In Matthew 23, verse 23, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye pay the tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matter of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye have to do, and not leave the other undone." So, what is the problem with the Pharisees. Studying the microbiology. But they're kind of parasites too. So what is the problem with the Pharisees over here? You know, they were valuing the physical things of the law, making sure that everybody's giving money, but not the spiritual things. So what are the weightier matters that we should value the most? The spiritual things of the Lord. So how do I know whether I'm valuing God or mammon? And it shows how much time, how much thought I spend on it, right? How much time we spend on it when we study God's words. And how much thought we spend on it versus how much time we spend on to other physical things that we do. And it shows that our values, right? You know, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9, we see another example of Paul over here. "For ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you, we preached unto you the gospel of God." So see how for Paul, you know, he had to work, but this didn't stop him from preaching the gospel. You know, he didn't skip that or stop that because it's too much time consuming or he's tired, but rather he worked night and day to be able to do that. So what about the examples of Jesus, you know, who loved righteousness? And also he was willing to give his life in order to obey God, you know, go to the cross. So we can see how much he valued that, how much he valued or loved the Lord in order to give his life for that, you know, willing to go that much suffering. So learning to value the good thing is very important for our spiritual life. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8, for bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. Godliness is profitable in this life and the next life to come. So if we value the Lord in this life and all his goodness in this life, what are we going to do in the next life? Now, if we're going to serve the Lord and to be with the Lord, so we need to learn how should we value the Lord when we are in this world. So what if we claim that we value God and his words, but not giving any importance to that or spending time for that? Now, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Do we pretend to love God and value what is good and don't spend any time toward that? In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, we know, we read this passage many times, right? According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. So how do we get this godliness? Well, again, through the knowledge of God. Well, how do we see, where we can see the God's knowledge? His words, according to Proverbs 2, verse 6. So 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. So does this mean that we never be tempted? We never have temptation? No. What do we read in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12? Well, if we have mind to do godly, if you will to be godly, we will suffer persecution. So we are going to suffer. But will we have help in our temptation? God knows how to deliver godly out of temptation. But does God know how to deliver ungodly people? People who don't value God. One of the reasons we don't have a help in our temptation, even in our prayer, when we pray for God to help in our temptation, one of the reasons we may not have the help from the Lord, because he don't know how to help. Why? He tells us very clearly here, he knows how to help the godly people out of temptation. So does the Lord know how to deliver the ungodly who don't value him? In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 to 11, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Now, God encourages us that because this world is going to be destroyed one day, no matter what degree we have, what kind of physical skills we have, everything going to be destroyed one day. If the Lord, all that's going to be left is going to be our inner man, our heart, mind, and soul. So what are we going to value? The things that are eternal or the things that are not eternal? We know from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16 to 18, that Paul's affliction is light because he's looking for the things that are eternal. So if we are looking for the things that are eternal, being with the Father, turning to the same glory that Father is, if that's our motivation, that's our value, that's what we're looking for in this world, if that's what we are spending our time and seeking after for, then Lord can deliver us out of our temptations. So in summary, what is godliness? What is the reason behind why we would try to do or become any good, anything good? We're not going to do good or change into good if we don't value it. Now, why would we value good? Not to be seen of men like Pharisees, but we are God's children when we value God and his goodness. So we need to make sure that our physical attributes shouldn't stop us from valuing God or getting more understanding of God. So we need to remember from what we read from Romans chapter 12, verse 3, that we need to think ourselves as the measure of faith that God gave to us. We receive the faith or understanding from God. And God gives understanding to the people who don't seek the praise of men or praise from one another. If we are doing that, then God may not give us understanding. So if we seek the praise from the Lord and value his praises, then he may give us more of his understanding so that we can be more godly in his sight. If you all can stand, we all will close in hymn.